All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Brought to you by Exterior Pros. Ready to tackle your home improvement project this year? Exterior Pros and Baths is here to help you score big with quality home exterior and shower upgrades. Visit extpros.com. Also brought to you by Lakeland Supply. Lakeland Supply is in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com.
Always great to get the insight from our friend and teammate Jason Wilde. Good morning, Jason. How are you doing today?
I'm great, everybody. How are you?
Good. Chewy's back. We love it. Telling us stories about his European vacation. Yesterday, Pro Football Focus announced that the highest graded player across all positions on Sunday was one, Micah Parsons. Were you surprised to see that, given how many points the Packers defense led by Micah Parsons gave up on Sunday to the Cowboys, Jason?
Maybe a little. I mean, obviously, he had the one play that was very impactful. And again, when you're watching the game, sure, Chewy and Tausch and Bulaga and Brad Nortman see it a little differently because of their NFL experience. But it didn't feel in real time like he was having a major impact until the play where he chases down Dak Prescott in overtime that prevents the touchdown. So yeah, I was a little bit surprised by that. Yes,
was Halfley too overconfident, Jason? To me, it seemed like he played way too much zone. Especially, I don't know why he did with Lamb out, because really their only star player other than Lamb is Pickens. Was he just overconfident and said, "Hey, we got this. Let's just do our thing and get out of here with a win"?
I don't know about that. So what? Like, they play a ton of zone, right? I mean, they play cover three, and that's their preferred game. What would you have done differently?
To me, it just looked way too easy. When your receivers are just finding holes, you know, and he never did anything to change it up, to change the tie, to take a chance. I don't know. It just seemed way too easy for Dallas, who was without their best receiver. It's just, I don't know.
Yeah, I think what I was surprised by was, like, one of the things that the first 3 weeks they were so good about was rallying to the ball, and they tackled really well. I don't know how many missed tackles they had, but it had to be an enormous number. Like, they were just bad in the tackling in that game. And then, obviously, I thought whether they're playing zone or man or whatever they're playing, I thought their corners played really poorly. And when that happens, you know, whatever system you're playing, when they play that badly, you're putting yourself in a really bad spot. And I thought that's exactly what they did.
Per PFF, 8 missed tackles in the game.
Felt like more. It felt like there was 8 missed tackles on one play alone.
All I can do is just give you the numbers, Jason. But for a guy that was once caught on camera saying, "All gas, no brakes," what can Matt LaFleur do to kind of change this narrative that he kind of turtles up when they have opportunities to win games? Because they got awfully conservative once they got into field goal range and got inside the red zone. And it just felt like, all right, we got to make sure we get out of here with a tie. And if we don't win the game, that's fine.
Yeah, I think Tausch is right. I mean, he said it yesterday. I think he was just really worried about leaving time left on the clock. And
who cares? Score a touchdown, the game's over.
Correct. I agree. Oh, hey, preaching to the choir. But I think he was, you know, the experience of the previous week, right, where you didn't necessarily think the Browns had enough time to go kick a field goal. And the fact that Brandon Aubrey can make, like, 80-yard field goals, that's you know, I could see why he was concerned. At the same time, you're exactly right. Like, the game's over if you score a touchdown. But again, like, there's no doubt he deserves criticism, right? I don't think there's any question about that. But again, I just don't understand why players seem to, you know, and I know he always says it starts with me, and you know, he said the play call sucked at one point during his post-game press conference. But I don't understand. Chewy, help me out. Like, they were...
Yeah, I know. I agree, Jason, because the theme of the show yesterday was beat up on the offense, where, you know, for maybe a series or two, I thought the offense played maybe the best game of the year, and the defense sucked. I just don't get it, you know?
They did. And my point is, yeah, it's great. The offense was as good as it was all season, and Jordan Love was awesome. They converted all these third downs. He made some big-time throws. All those things are true. But they were all lollygagging around after Wilson gets tackled in bounds.
That's the problem, Jason. The reason why the focus is on that is because the defense played poorly. They did. They gave him 40 points, right? But they had an opportunity to win the game, and they didn't. And it felt like after being aggressive early in that series and taking some of those chances, they decided that they were okay with the tie. And I think that's why people, speaking for myself, where you kind of left going, yeah, all those things are true. 40 points, 489 yards of total offense. Josh Jacobs looked great finally in that second half. The cut he made on that second touchdown was outlandish, was so good. Matthew Golden's making big catches, 3 touchdowns for Romeo Doubs. All those great things, I don't want to say they could completely undone, but it just leaves a bad taste in your mouth when the last thing you see is how they handled, A, the plays on leading up to the lollygagging. I think that whole thing, you're just going, wait, what the hell is this?
Yeah, I don't understand it either. Now, again, they had a shot play called down the field, and then Love checks it down to Emmanuel Wilson in the right flat, which with no timeouts, I don't understand. Like, I would like to have seen him throw a fastball right over Emmanuel Wilson's head, right? Mm-hmm. So it stops the clock. He was obviously hoping that Emmanuel Wilson could make a guy miss and gain more yardage and then get out of bounds. That's not what happened. The previous play lost 3 yards. So now you're sitting at 3rd and 14. I don't know if LaFleur got the play call. You know, my understanding was because they'd popped the timeout before the Emmanuel Wilson play that they had 2 plays called for what they call O-zone, which is either get out of bounds, that's the O, or you throw the ball into the end zone. And instead, you know, that they obviously do on the incompletion to Matthew Golden on their last play from scrimmage. But again, I thought it looked to me like the players were not understanding, you know, like Chris Berman, tick, 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 mm-hmm. tick. Like that. It just looked like they were unaware of the urgency that was required to get lined up. And
which is crazy because they had to go no huddle at a different point because they hit the 2-minute. You know what I'm saying? Like it's the whole thing just is so confusing.
Right. And my point is that as much as LaFleur always takes the blame for everybody, that to me looked like it was on the players for not understanding the urgency that was required there. I'm sure LaFleur was in Jordan's ear going, all right, we got to go. Okay, we got to go. Let's go. We got to go. And the fact that they slow played it the way they did, and then, I mean, I understand they still had 1 second left, so they had enough time to tie the game. But, like,
they were lucky to have 1 second.
They were so lucky. Right, exactly.
Well, how it works, Jason, is this, and I question the assistant coaches a little bit, because you go back to Holmgren's tree, and there's head coach after head coach after head. There's only been one head coach with LaFleur who was a train wreck in Hackett. So there should be an assistant coach up there going, hey, we got 3 guys on the left, trips left, trips left. And they should be in his ear going, trips left, trips left. And then LaFleur goes, all right, run X slant here. Look at the backside, they're going to be in cover 2. It's not easy. It's just, I agree with you, the lollygagging, but even the lining up and this, it's just, I don't know how much help he's doing getting from assistant coaches, and if LaFleur is just overloaded and he's trying to do too much.
Yeah, and he's not going to give up play calling because I don't think he feels like that's going to help the issue.
Yeah, I don't think he should either, Jason, because it's not like I don't know who you would give it to.
But it's just like it shouldn't be that hard. And I didn't like when the timeout was called, Jason. Yeah, I didn't like when they used that timeout.
His play calls got them 40 points and 489 yards.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they obviously butchered the end of the game. Like, let's just be honest. You know, I think it was Adam Schefter who made the point yesterday that if that throw by Love doesn't hit Jack Sanborn, former Badger, in the back and just goes out of the end zone instead, they don't have any time left. And then they lose. And then the criticism, for as much criticism as they're getting, deservedly so, it intensifies even further if you don't even have the time to kick the game-tying field goal to escape with a tie. So it was a bad look all around, and it, to your point, it undoes all the good stuff offensively, right? Because offensively, all we're talking about is that, and then defensively, we're talking about where did this come from? They were leading the league in scoring defense; they were third in the league in yards allowed, and then suddenly, the Cowboys, without CeeDee Lamb, without two of their starting offensive linemen, put up 430 whatever in yards and 40 points, including two on a blocked extra point, which I don't know how many times, Jason, there's been those, but that was new.
Can I ask a question real quick? Who is in Jordan's ear? Is it LaFleur?
It's LaFleur, yes.
Why?
It is LaFleur.
Why? Why?
Because he's the play caller.
I know, but Andy Reid was always in Brett's ear, or whoever. Mooch was always in Brett's ear. This is what I'm talking about, doing too much. He's got to sit there and look at the play, and he should trust his quarterback coach or his offensive coordinator to be an extension of him where he doesn't have to worry about that. Because you're looking at I'll stop venting.
No, I hope you feel better. We're here to make you feel better, Chu. Okay. That's great to have you back, by the way.
So you're telling me, in your day, it was a game of telephone?
What do you mean?
So Holmgren would give the play to Andy, and Andy would give the play to Brett?
Some of it would be signaled in, the formation would be signaled in, and then just the play would be in the headset.
So who's giving that play?
It would be Andy.
And Andy's getting the play.
Andy's in communication.
And Andy's getting the play from Holmgren.
Correct.
So it is a game of telephone.
Correct, but you can all hear. You know what I mean? It's just, I believe, one person can talk to the quarterback. You can't have multiple people.
Mm-hmm.
Jason, yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead, I'm sorry. No, I'm good.
What should fans expect the offensive line to look like coming out of the bye?
I don't know what Aaron Banks' situation will be. We've got LaFleur at 2:00 today. It's the only availability we have this week, which usually during the bye week, we get a bunch of assistants. So I thought that was a little bit curious. And we usually at least have the coordinators. So we don't have that either, which I thought was interesting. If Aaron Banks is ready to go, obviously they would put him back at left guard. I mean, I guess it's possible that Zach Tom returns the lineup, but again, after the way that has played out, I felt like he needed this week, he needed the bye week, and probably needs another week or two to get back to 100% on that, because otherwise, you just keep setting yourself back. So I suppose it's possible that they have both those guys back, and they have their chosen starting five out there, but I would be skeptical of Zach Tom. And then I thought Jordan Morgan, and I don't know if the Pro Football Focus grades bore this out, Gabe, but I thought Jordan Morgan played pretty well at left guard. And I'm starting to think he just belongs at one position at a time. And if Anthony Belton's ankle is good enough, then you play him at right tackle if Zach Tom's not available. Darian Kennard, I know, saw he had a pretty good grade from PFF. So I just think they have to stop moving Jordan Morgan around and just play him at left guard. And then I understand he's one of your best five, but Steno was trying to tell us he's as good as Zach Tom and Elgton Jenkins at moving around, and I just don't believe that.
Yeah, so Darian Kennard was their top-ranked offensive lineman. Morgan was their second. Sixth highest offensive grade for the Packers.
There you go.
Jason, we appreciate the insight. Always a pleasure chatting with you. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, everybody. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde can be heard on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every morning here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. Want to dive into the state of the Packers. Colin Cowherd had some interesting things to say yesterday about how the dynamic that he sees in Green Bay. We'll break that down right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. You know there's a reason that we've trusted Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin here at ESPN Milwaukee for as long as we have. And I'm just the latest in the long line of people to trust them. Had them into my house, looked at the windows. Okay, we're good there. But what about this front door? All right, let's get this new front door. And it can be overwhelming. You're welcoming somebody into your house. You're going through all these different customizable options. But the team at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin is always going to point you in the right direction. When a customer chooses Pella, one of the most important things to them is honoring that trust and commitment. Their vision is to be the company that people want to do business with. So if you use Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and order by the end of the month, get 0% interest for up to 5 years. Just visit PellaWI.com today. And when you use Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, tell them that Gabe Neitzel sent you.